Going on about 3 years as a pastor, I cannot say that I have learned many lessons absolutely, or that I have many things perfected. But I can say one thing that I have learned almost absolutely, almost perfect knowledge that I have, is that almost everyone, virtually everyone, I think everyone, that I have ever talked to, I find out that at one point in their life, or if they are young enough, at some point in their life, maybe in the future, they will go through, or they have gone through, something incredibly difficult. Whether it was or is some serious illness, whether it is the traumatic loss of a loved one, a traumatic event of some kind or the other, an addiction, a mistake landing in deep trouble and anxiety, deep depression, or another mental health problem of some kind or another. The list goes on. It never surprises me. People always think, almost humorously to me, people always think it will surprise me when they tell me what they've been through, and I'm never surprised anymore. We go through difficult things in this life, traumatic things in this life. It's almost funny to me sometimes when people think that they are the only ones, that they are that special, that the devil would only get them and no one else. But he gets everyone. And maybe it's not the devil always. It could also be, as the Lord himself says about Abraham today, the Lord went to test Abraham. Or as he says about his servant Job, I will go and test my servant Job. Sometimes the story of how difficult and how scandalous and how shocking it is that the Lord would test Abraham by having him go and sacrifice his only son, the son whom he loved, that can be shocking to people. That can surprise people, but remember that truth that we've already discussed. The Lord tests us all. Abraham is not the only one to go through something this difficult in his life. And it is a little different, sure, than maybe some of the things you've gone through. Maybe the Lord hasn't come down to you in a voice from heaven and said, I'm going to test you, and here's how. That might actually make things a little easier for us to understand when the Lord is testing us and when we are going through such difficult times. But the truth is, he tests all his children. And there's another truth that I know too. And that is that we are honest with ourselves and we are honest with the Bible, we should not be surprised at any of this. For we can see through the scope of Scripture that the Lord tests his people and that he has a purpose in doing so. He is not some mean God on some sort of power trip that just wants to mess with people's brains and see how shocking he can be. But just like a loving father will push his son to their limits to teach them endurance, to teach them how to get through hard things, to teach them and build in them character, so our loving Father in heaven will push us to limits which may seem shocking at first, but which actually makes sense in the end. And on top of that, we also know this, that the testing is for our good, and that he is working everything out for the good of those who love him. And it should not be shocking to us for this reason, that we should know and we should believe, and as we can see with Abraham, he does bring us through to the end. Yes, it might be scandalous in some ways that the Lord would have Abraham sacrifice his only son. But also remember, and Abraham must have known, as he should have, that this is the God. This isn't just some God out there somewhere. This isn't, again, some mean God on a power trip. This is the God who raises his children from the dead. This is the God who has promised from the beginning that he will provide everything that is needed. This is the God who, as we talked about last week, promised Isaac to Abraham and Sarah, and even when Sarah was 90 years old and it seemed completely unlikely, completely impossible that that child would ever be born, yet that child is born. This God is the God who does miracles. This God is the God who gives life. This God is the God who created the universe. And so how is it scandalous? How is it shocking at all that he would test Abraham in such an intense way? Abraham knew, Abraham trusted, even if I sacrifice Isaac, the Lord has a plan. Maybe he'll raise him from the dead. Maybe I will see him again. Maybe he doesn't know exactly what's going to happen. You don't know exactly what's going to happen when you're being tested, when you're going through that traumatic event, that depression, that illness, that really difficult thing in life, that really shocking thing in life you didn't think was ever going to happen to you, and yet it happened. You don't know how it's going to end. But Abraham was tested and he endured. We doubt. Of course we doubt. We should know better. We should know that this is the God who raises the dead. One of the things that's so amazing about the story of Abraham and Isaac is it seems almost as if Abraham never doubts. This is Abraham's only son. The son, as we said, who was promised to him. The son who was the only hope of Genesis 12. Of Abraham being a blessing to many nations, of all of the things which were promised to Abraham, that he would have descendants as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. This was his only hope. And the Lord said, go and sacrifice him, your only son, the one whom you love. And it seems as if he never doubts. He just says, here am I. He says that three times. First, when God calls him to this test, here am I. Then when Isaac himself says, my father, here am I. And then when the angel comes and says, Abraham, Abraham, here am I. And he also says this over and over again, the Lord will provide. When Isaac asks, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? The Lord will provide. Whenever it's made clear how the Lord will provide it, he names that place, the Lord will provide. That is what we should say when the Lord comes to test us, when those things, those incredibly difficult things begin to happen to us. Sometimes, if you live long enough, you're lucky enough that multiple really incredibly difficult things happen in your life. In fact, that's probably most likely. What should we say? I am here. Here am I, Lord. The Lord will provide. Whatever is going on, here am I. The Lord will provide. I am yours. You are my God. I am the clay. You are the potter. I know that you have all things work together for the good of those who love you in time. And yet we struggle. I have to imagine Abraham also was struggling in his head. His actions don't portray that, but we don't get to see in this story inside his head. What was going on? What thoughts were going on as he was walking up the mountain? as he was saddling the donkey, as he was handing his son the wood, as he was even tying up his son and binding him. We don't know what was going through his head. I bet he doubted, and yet he kept going. And so I bet you doubt too. I know I doubt in those times. And what should we do about that? Well, that's easy. This is Lent. This is the season of repentance. So whenever you doubt, whenever you fail to say, "Here am I, the Lord will provide," repent. On Good Friday, come here, 6:30 p.m., nail that nail into that roughly hewn cross. Nail those doubts away. Put them on Jesus. That's what we do with our doubts. That's what we do with our sin. Because not only is the God who tested Abraham and the God who tests you the God who provides, but he is also the God who forgives and the God who comforts in the midst of doubt. The second thing that you can learn from Abraham there, not only how to repent, but also that he is an example. For even while you can imagine that he is having doubts in his head, something that we already kind of discussed is that he just keeps moving forward. When you read this account in Genesis 22, it is notable how much movement there is. The Lord calls Abraham and he starts going to that place. And he takes with him certain people and then he saddles the donkeys and lets them sit in a certain place with the servants, and then he and Isaac keep moving, and then he's handing him the wood, and then he's binding him, and then he's raising his hands. There's so much movement going on, because what is he doing? He's continuing to push forward. He keeps going and going and going. And that is an example of faith for us. Abraham has great faith. Abraham is tested. At the end of the test, God says of Abraham, "Now I know that you love me." And so when we are being tested, we can take this as an example and we can keep going. Whenever you're going through difficult times, just keep doing what the Lord asks you to do. Keep coming to this place and receiving his word and his comfort and his encouragement. Keep coming to this place and receiving his supper and his gifts of forgiveness and mercy. Keep praying as he asks you to do. Keep studying and reading his word as he asks you to do. Keep surrounding yourself with fellow Christians who can help you and guide you and give you wisdom during those difficult times. What would be a failure of the test is what the devil wants you to do in times of testing. What the devil wants for you in times of testing is for you to become isolated. What the devil wants is for you to separate yourself from believers, to separate yourself from the church, to separate yourself from prayer, and to separate yourself from God's word. Don't allow him that privilege during your testing, but continue to move forward. Even if it seems difficult, even if it seems like in Abraham's case that it's going to make things worse and worse and worse, the Lord will provide. Here am I. And God did provide for Abraham. First, he provided in that moment, in that time, the ram in the thicket. Right at the right time, right as Abraham had his hand in the air with the knife in his hand, he provided the angel and the ram in the thicket. All in God's good timing. All in the way it needed to be. And so let's say this, first of all, that in your testing, in your time of difficulty, in your depression, in your trauma, in your sickness, in your loss, in your grief, and in your sorrow, the Lord will provide a specific answer for you. He will provide whatever healing you need, whatever acceptance you need, whatever, even sometimes calling someone home or even calling you home at His time, in His way, that you need. He will provide the ram in the thicket. He will provide the answer in His good timing, in His own way. The other thing to see that God provides here, and this is maybe the most important point about Genesis 22, is that the Lord provides ultimately through Christ. This story of Abraham and Isaac, this true historical event that God works out in His own timing, it is not just an example for us of faith, the faith of Abraham, and it is not just a way to talk about testing. It is all those things. But it is also an image of Jesus. If the story was only about Abraham, I heard it put this way recently. I saw a quote. If the story was only about Abraham, at the end of the story, Abraham would have named the place Abraham passed the test, not the Lord will provide. But this story is about the Lord providing, and not just for Abraham with the ram in the thicket. The story is about the Lord providing through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so let me just give you a number of things to show you that this is about Jesus and how He provides for your every need. In case you did not know your biblical geography, Mount Moriah is the same place as the Temple Mount, one day to be Golgotha. The sacrifice of Isaac was not just about that sacrifice to happen on that mount then, but about another sacrifice that would happen on that mount this, not this Friday, the following Friday, Good Friday. Isaac is the son of a father. The father sacrifices his son. Let me know if that sounds familiar. Notice all this talk about wood and the wood for the sacrifice. The wood for the sacrifice is laid on Isaac. That wood is not just wood for burning a burnt offering. That wood is the wood of Christ on the cross. And notice all these little details that he includes, that on the third day they went up to the mountain. Those are the number of days that Jesus would be in the tomb. The fire and the knife, those are symbols of God's wrath poured out on the cross, the punishment for sin. Isaac is specifically bound, just like Jesus was nailed to the cross and bound. And there is a ram that is provided. That is the spotless Lamb of God. Where is the Lamb? The Lamb is Jesus. That's the answer. And in that place, there is no doubt that the Lord provided. It is through Christ's work that everything is made right. Our sins of doubt are forgiven at the cross. It is at the cross that He bears our grief and our sorrow. It is at the cross that He deals with every single one of our difficult, incredibly difficult times in life, that He provides all of the life and all of the salvation that we need to get through those times. And it is there that He provides the ultimate answer, even the answer to death itself. And notice that God does not leave His Son Jesus there sacrificed. Yes, the cross does seem scandalous that a father would sacrifice his son. But He does it to save you, and He does not leave His Son there, but in fact He raises Him from the dead. Easter is coming, friends. Good Friday is coming. That is our forgiveness. That is our hope. But Easter is coming too, and that is our vindication. Vindicate me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation, said the psalm. And we can see in that death, in that sacrifice, on that place, and in that resurrection, that the Lord has for you today, in all difficulties, in all sufferings, provided. To him be all the honor and glory now and forever. Amen.